בטחים גם יחד הנה מה טוב הנה מה טוב לילה 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 לילה.
Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
Okay, y'all, we're continuing this series based on some of the sayings of our founding rabbi, Robert Solomon, the series called The Wisdom of Solomon. Okay, I'm going to start off talking about something a little bit different, y'all. I don't know if you saw, who knows, with Atlanta sports, I'm not exactly holding my breath. But nonetheless, game three of the NBA playoffs a couple of days ago with the Atlanta Hawks and the New York Knicks. Wow, that was quite a game. Man, that was some kind of a game. I really loved it. My son and I were able to catch the end of it on TV. It was not on network TV, so maybe a lot of you didn't see it. But man, it was an incredible game. And somehow the Atlanta Hawks pulled it out, leading the Knicks in the game two games to one. It's a best of seven. So, you know, obviously we're likely to choke. But the point is that, listen, I've been born and raised in Atlanta. I know how it works, y'all. Okay. But nonetheless, this is just the first round, y'all. So we'd have to go through multiple rounds. But nonetheless, it was an exciting game. And I'm rooting. Maybe a miracle will happen. We get to the next round and then choke. In any case, though, it was a lot of fun. It's exciting to root for your team, and basketball is a lot of fun. You know, I know that a lot of you would probably look at me and think, wow, that guy probably was a basketball player. I understand. I kind of ooze that, really. People come up to me, oftentimes ask me for my autograph, thinking I'm a pro basketball player, and I have to tell them, no, you've got me mistaken for someone else. You're all laughing. I understand. Okay. But I want to tell you a little bit about a basketball player. Maybe you're not into basketball so much. Some of you are, and you'll know this person immediately, but others of you, I want to explain to you a little bit about, you know, at least enough about the sport. You have a ball, you try to get it in a hoop. Okay. You all know that. I want to talk about Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry is a world-class basketball star. I mean, I'm telling you, he is something else. I want to give you a little bit of the resume just so you can get a feel for this guy. Just curious, anybody ever heard of Steph Curry? Anybody? Okay, most of you, actually about half of you. Okay, about half of you, good. Steph Curry, unbelievable basketball player. Also, part of one of my very favorite ESPN, this is SportsCenter commercials ever. In any case, Steph Curry is a world-class basketball star. Let me tell you a little bit about him. Even if you don't know anything about basketball, you don't know anything about the guy, I want to tell you a little bit about him. It'll help explain, you'll understand him a little bit. He's a four-time NBA champion. Four-time. That's a lot. Four-time world champion. Two-time regular season most valuable player. Okay, so like very acclaimed. In fact, he was the very first unanimous MVP in history. He was NBA Finals MVP. Also, he's known for his amazing shooting. Okay, for those of you who don't know, most baskets in the NBA are made really close to the basket. Okay, which only makes sense. So let's pretend the basket is here. I'm not going to show you how high it is by jumping. I don't want to embarrass anybody else. You know, you may think, wow, I can't jump as high. I understand. So I'm just going to pretend, you know, I want to respect. And so if the basket is here, you know, most baskets are shot right near the basket. Okay. Or, you know, or Whoa. or maybe a little bit out from the basket. Okay, that's most baskets that are shot in the NBA, but there is a particular shot called a three-pointer. If you don't know anything about basketball, there's this large kind of semicircular ring that goes around the basket, and that's where it's a long shot. Okay, it's a long shot, kind of named appropriate. It's a long shot, and that's a three-point. You get an extra point if you make the basket from there, and so that's maybe from somewhere around here to the basket. Okay, maybe even right about here. It's a long shot. Okay, it's called a three-pointer. You have to be really good to get that little basketball in that little bitty hoop from that far away. Well, Steph Curry is the NBA's all-time leader in three-pointers made. Okay, so this dude is a sharpshooter, underestimates it. Also highlighted by the fact that, you know, free throws, you know, that's the free throw you take right about here, you know, but in front of the basket. You know enough about basketball to know a free throw. He is also the NBA's all-time free throw percentage, has the highest all-time free throw percentage in NBA history. Do you know how many people played in the NBA? Great players, great shooters. And he has the highest percentage of free throws. There's only three people in history who have over 90% in free throws in history. And he's one of the three. He has the highest of them all. Really remarkable in that regard. He is a two-time scoring champion, having scored more than anybody else in the league. A perennial All-NBA and All-Star selection. He's widely regarded as the greatest shooter in basketball history. Steph Curry. What a resume. Wow, what a resume. I mean, that's incredibly impressive. Stephen Curry, man, something else. Wow, what a gift to shoot the basketball. Proverbs chapter 4, please. Proverbs 4. Oh, I hope you're encouraged and blessed by what you hear today. Yes. Ooh, I'm excited. Okay, it says in verse 18 of Proverbs chapter 4, King Solomon says, the path of the righteous. Okay, so if you are looking to lead a righteous life and a holy life, then this is talking about your path. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, shining brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Okay, I have some encouragement for you today. Some of you may look at your life and feel as though kind of you've plateaued, especially in a spiritual sense. A lot of people go through life, and this message is very much is very much for everybody here, including people who've been believers a long, long time. Why? Because sometimes you've been a believer a long time. You know a lot of the stuff. It's easy to feel as though you've kind of plateaued a little bit. Plateaued may be a really nice way to say it, okay? Another way to say it might be you feel a little dry. Feeling a little dry, okay? What is it? There's nothing kind of new or excited. I mean, it's not that you're necessarily at a bad place, you're a plateau, but you're feeling a little dry. But there is a lesson here for you if you're attempting to follow the path of righteousness. Because what does it say? It's very interesting. We have to follow this. And to me, it's very powerful. Let me tell you what your spiritual walk should not be. And it's something that a lot of people like. It should not be like a firework. Okay, you know, fireworks are great. I love fireworks. I mean, I love July 4th. I love January 1st. I love, man, looking at the sky and seeing these brilliant displays. I don't know if you followed the firework industry, but in the last couple of years, you know, Chinese were the ones who invented the fireworks. And they've come out with some things the last couple of years that are just mind-blowing, new fireworks that are just crazy. Most of them haven't kind of immigrated to the U.S. yet. They're doing some amazing firework technology, if you will. But nonetheless, but the point is that fireworks are fantastic. They're great. I love fireworks. They go up and then boom, you know, quite a beautiful display. Sometimes it can fill the whole sky. You know, those fireworks, the blooms, they call them. And it's just like, wow, the color and the sound. It's such a sense. You can sense it. It's a sensory thing there. But guess what, my friends? After only a few seconds, the firework is completely gone. And then it goes back to total darkness. See, that's what our spiritual walk should not be like. A lot of people's spiritual walk is just like, boom, wow, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Woo, look at that. Oh, honey, isn't that beautiful? Oh my gosh, that's just amazing. Remarkable. I don't know what that was. That was awesome. Wish I could do that again. I don't even know how I did that. Wow, man. Okay, anyway, and then it's gone. And then it's gone. And you know what good is that as a spiritual walk? This is not to be what our spiritual walk looks like. What do we read here in Proverbs 4? King Solomon here, wisest man ever to live, tells us that our path, our life, should be one where it's like the sun rising. Each year, as we walk through life, our light should be getting, what does the scripture say? Brighter and brighter and brighter. Because it says that the path leads to the full day. So if you will, some of you have been up all night or out, you know, maybe in a tent or something. Obviously, somebody like me, I go camping all the time. I think once when I was 15. Anyway, the point is that if you're out at night and it's pitch black, and then the sun, you know what I'm talking about, right? The sky, just the faintest little light. And it's like, oh, I think I see something, right? And it's not that you see the sun yet, but it's starting to rise a little bit. And the sky is starting to get a little brighter. And you can start to tell it usually because of the silhouette of the trees. Right, you wouldn't know except for you look at the silhouette of the trees and you say, oh, I see some silhouetting. The light is starting to come up, and every minute, and every hour, every 10 minutes, whatever, it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. This is what the scripture says our spiritual walks should be like. Our spiritual path should continue to be getting brighter and brighter and brighter until it is what? Full day. Okay, in other words, until the sun is the brightest that it can be in the sky. It's interesting because at, say, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, the sun is out. You see the sun. But man, the sun is at its full power when it is middle of the day, shining so that it's just illuminating everything that could possibly be illuminated. That is full day. Scripture says our spiritual walks should be like the morning sun, more and more and brighter until full day. That's what our path should be. It should lead to full day. When, by the way, is full day? I'll tell you when full day was for Susan Reamer. It was last night. That was the moment. Full day. The day was full. and please God, and Susan Reamer was, that sun shone the most brightly in her life, even more at 98 years old than at 88 years old. See, this should be the goal, my friends. Full day, full sunshine in our spiritual walks. It should be growing more and more bright. Brother or sister, I'm going to ask you something. Compare yourself to 10 years ago. Is your light shining brighter today than it was 10 years ago? No. Brighter. And honestly, considering the span of your life, it should be way brighter. Way brighter. Is that where you're at? This is what the Proverbs is talking about here, my friends. Each day, each week, each month, each year, brighter and brighter and brighter. See, and this is quite a contrast to the wicked. What does it say? It says they are in darkness to the point that they can't even see what makes them stumble. You've been in the dark before, in the middle of the night, and there's no stars in the sky, or there's no moon, there's clouds, and dude, you can't see anything. I'm going to tell you something. You have been in your own home, in the middle of the night, okay, in your house that you know like the back of your hand, you know your house. And when you get up in the middle of the night and you got to go do something, there's no light on and the moon's not shining and it's kind of pitch black. Man, you know your house like the back of your hand. I'm going to show you what you look like. If it were daylight and somebody was videoing you, it would be like a funniest videos. You know, what is it? Somebody's, you know, they're walking over, they're just like, it's so easy to stumble, man. And dude, I say dude, if you left your clothes on the floor, oh man, I got a lot of the women with me on that one. That was, dude, if you leave your clothes on the floor, you're apt to trip. You know, or your shoes. So I'm getting some comments here. That's right. Or your shoes. You're going to trip on it. Why? Because it's pitch black. You can't see it. You can't see it, my friends. We need light. We need more light in our lives. Spiritually, I'm talking about here. But this should challenge us because some believers get to a point that they're no longer seeking to improve spiritually. Understand, my friends, it's not that they're bad people by any means. In fact, they may be some of the most amazing people around. But it's not about where you are. It's about where you are going. As wonderful and as godly as you might be, are you still seeking to become more so? More so godly? Or have you become complacent with what you have attained? No improvement. That's dryness. Our walks, friends, should be brighter and brighter and brighter. This is the criteria that Solomon gives us as what our goal should be that is an obtainable goal too. Because none of us are ever going to reach perfection. I understand that. God understands that. But you know what? It should be brighter today than yesterday. Let me tell you, this message is for all of us, Rabbi included. 1 Timothy chapter 4, please. 1 Timothy 4. Ooh, I hope you're both convicted and encouraged at this message here today. Because there is both available for you in this. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Rabbi Shaul was teaching his protege, Timothy, regarding certain spiritual gifts. So he's talking about, Paul here is talking about certain spiritual gifts, but I'm not going to focus so much on what the spiritual gifts are. I'm focusing on the principle that Paul is teaching Timothy. I want you to hear the principle that Paul is teaching his protege, Timothy. Timothy, who in and of himself, even as a young man, was already a heavy hitter. You best know that because Paul picked him. Okay, and he was training him. Timothy was a heavy hitter. What did Paul tell Timothy? 1 Timothy 4:15. He tells Timothy, practice these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress may be clear to all. Give attention to yourself and your teaching. Persevere in these things, for in doing so, you will save yourself and those who hear you. This is something very interesting. What is Paul telling Timothy to do? Practice. Practice. Talking about practice? That's a little NBA joke. You got that one, Hamilton. You got my Allen Iverson there. Talking about practice? Yeah, I'm talking about practice here. Yes, practice. Practice so that your progress may be clear to all. This is not just practice, do a little practice. No, Paul is telling Timothy, practice that spiritual principle so that your progress should be clear enough that anybody who sees you or knows you sees it. Your progress may be clear to all. When somebody looks at you and your spiritual walk, do they look at you and do they reflect, man, whew, boy, they are a good couple light years away from when they were 5 years ago. Whew, boy, some deep spiritual stuff going on right there. It should be clear to all. Oh man, it's pretty unmistakable. Persevere, he says. In other words, you've got to continue to improve. Continue to improve. Continue to practice. And friends, I'd assume that Timothy was already pretty good. Timothy was already impressive. Paul picked him as his protege. Come on. Timothy was something else, man. And yet Paul was telling him, you got to continually improve, Timothy. You got to continually improve. Keep practicing. So much so that other people can't help but they're going to notice your improvement. This is in a spiritual gift topic here. Listen to this. I want to tell you something interesting. This is really remarkable. Stephen Curry is now 38 years old. This is the basketball player I was telling you about earlier with all those incredible accolades. He's now 38 years old, okay? So basketball players usually don't go past about 32, maybe 33 on average, kind of tops. A few go later he's 38. He's still going at it. And including the playoffs, in his over 1,200 games, Steph Curry has taken, in games, regular season playoffs, over 22,000 shots. That's a lot of shots. That dude has shot the ball a lot, 22,000 times. Just think about that for a second. That's an unbelievable number that he shot in the game we're talking about, right? You remember his accolades. This is a guy who's considered perhaps the greatest shooter ever to live. Okay, this guy can, and he's taken in game over 22,000 shots. Yeah, listen to this, because it's still considered unreal by everyone who follows basketball. If you follow basketball close and you know anything about his story, you probably are aware of this. Steph Curry still today, typically gets in about 300 to 500 practice shots per day. 300 to 500 practice shots a day. But wait. According to his assistant coach, this is documented, that is after practice. After practice. 300 to 500 practice shots. So you're talking about all these NBA players. They all have their practice, and they're shooting lots of shots in practice. Are you kidding me? They shoot just like nonstop at practice. They're all practicing, and part of NBA is practice. And then when practice is over, that's when Steph Curry shoots another 300 to 500 shots in practice. Just himself. little different. You all know I talked about what a three-pointer is. This is the long shot. So this is the shot from maybe right about here into a basket on the back wall. That's a long shot. Three-point shot. Around 5 years ago, already well into his 30s, closer to his mid-30s, about 5 years ago, in a practice, on video, and this is on video. This is before AI, you know, all these AI videos and stuff. This was on video. It was confirmed. It's you can watch it on YouTube. I did before I was working on this message. It's absolutely unreal to watch. It's just like, it's mind-blowing. On video, in practice, he was taking three-point shots, which is the hardest shot to make in basketball. Percentage is lower on that shot than any other shot. Okay, it makes sense. You're so far away from the basket. And he was taking practice shots, and they were videotaping him. And how it worked is he'd just shoot it up, and then whatever happened, they had a, you know, some rebounder over here who was getting the ball after his shots and throwing it to his assistant coach. And his assistant coach was beside him, and assistant coach would bounce pass it to him so he could shoot it. And so he was shooting practice three-pointers, and he was just got on a roll, if you will. This is unprecedented. You can watch it on video. It's absolutely entrancing almost, is that he made 105 straight three-pointers in a row. Nobody's even come close to this. Not even close. 105 in a row. 105. You know, and it would be one thing, you know, Hamilton, if he was like, yeah, okay, bounce, bounce, bounce. Watch the video. That's not how it was. He took a shot around between every 2 and 3 seconds. So we're talking about that's almost literally as fast as you can shoot it. You watch the video. It's like he'll shoot, bounce past to him, shoot that quick, shoot, shoot, shoot. I'm getting tired. I know. I've got some good form. I get that. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Okay, it's on YouTube. You can watch it. It's unreal, this guy, how he can shoot, right? What's the point? It's a joke there. You get it? What's the point there? Some of you followed me on that. Steph Curry is still practicing more than almost anyone in the NBA. Still, perhaps the greatest pure shooter ever. Yet here he is in the twilight of his career, still practicing, seeking to improve. Are you? Quite honestly, you would think, wow, if there's anybody who could kind of take it easy, it'd be Steph Curry. You kind of think that Steph Curry could say, I think I finally figured out how to shoot a basketball. 22,000 shots in the game. Imagine how many shots in practice. The greatest shooter in the history of the NBA. You know, he could have just said, you know what? Kind of think I got this. I'm okay. Maybe I can skip practice today. kind of got a resume. I don't know if you heard it. I mean, he could easily, come on. The guy could shoot in his sleep. He could get out of bed and make a three-pointer. Still shooting, still practicing. Proverbs 9. That's deep. I'm telling you, that's deep. So lesson for us. Proverbs 9:9 says this, which one are you? Or are you this, rather? Proverbs 9:9 says, instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. The fear of Adonai is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Well, it's interesting. What's interesting is not just what the word says here, but what the word doesn't say. The word doesn't say to instruct an unwise man and he will gain in wisdom. Now, listen, that could be true too, but that's what you would expect for it to be said, right? What do you want to do? Well, this only makes intuitive sense. What I'm saying, what it does not say, but makes sense, but it doesn't say this. What makes intuitive sense is it would say, if somebody is unwise, teach them, give them wisdom, and they'll become wiser. That just makes sense. And I think that that's true too. I think that's true too. But Solomon, in his wisdom, was trying to teach us something that is not intuitive, that is not intuitively wise. And it's a lesson for all of us because he knows that people won't think about it in this context that often, as often. He's not saying teach somebody unwise and they're going to become wiser. No, he says teach a wise man. Give wisdom to a wise man, a wise person, and they will become wiser still. This is a lesson for us here. If we have any amount of wisdom, very, very interesting. Instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach someone who is righteous and he will increase in learning. See, brother, sister, what that tells you, it should tell you, is that you should not become complacent with wherever you're at. Teach a wise man and they will become wiser still. Rabbi Robert used to frequently say that when you come to Shabbat services and you hear the message, don't come here without being changed for the better. I don't care how you walked in that door today. You need to purpose to walk out that door a better person than when you walked in that door. And beloved, I'm going to tell you something else. That doesn't have anything to do with how good of a speaker I am. That has to do with you, your heart, and your attitude every time you sit on that pew. Are you looking to grow? Are you taking your practice shots? Or are you happy with your current spiritual state because you know it's pretty good? Well, I guess that Steph Curry doesn't need to take as many practice shots. He could just rest on his laurels. But he doesn't. And verse 10 is the key in understanding this attitude. Oh, this is a very deep thing, y'all. To understand the whole point about even if you're wise, you should be seeking wisdom. Even if you know a lot and you're righteous, you should seek teaching so you can become more knowledgeable, more wise, if you will. Why? Verse 10. See, if you understand it, you got to understand verse 10 to understand verse 9. Verse 10 is key. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. See, if we truly understand the greatness of God, the hugeness of God, the righteousness of God, then we will daily say, how can I improve my shot? How can I get better? See, the fear of the Lord has to do with humility. We have to have a humble attitude. Precious God, I humble myself before you. Well, if you have a humble attitude, you're going to seek to be improving in your spiritual walk and in your spiritual state because you understand that, brother, sister, you have not arrived yet. And neither have I. 2 Peter chapter 1, please. 2 Peter 1. See, there's a principle that is frequently elucidated in Scripture that talks about essentially we need to always improve, always seek to improve, always seek to improve till the day you draw your last breath. Brighter and brighter still. This is an interesting passage here that is challenging to us as believers. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. It says, now for this very reason, making every effort, this should be a priority for you. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly love. And to brotherly love, love, as in agape love. For if these qualities are in you and increasing, they keep you from becoming idle and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Man, I'm telling you, this is intense. Do you see this, beloved? Make every effort to add, every effort to add. These qualities in you should be increasing. They should be increasing regularly. And by the way, if you're not very far in your spiritual journey, and you think about how far you still have to come, the point is equally valid for you. Wherever you are at in your spiritual walk, if you're toward the beginning of your spiritual walk, this applies to you. If you've been a believer 50 years, this applies to you. Wherever you are at, you have to make every effort to add. Every effort to add. Even if you're just starting out and you think, wow, there's so much I don't know. There's so much I don't understand. There's so much that's way ahead and above me. And, you know, he's talking about making 105 three-pointers in a row. I can't even make a simple layup when I'm right beside the basket. You know, ka-clank, 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 ka-clank. I understand, my friends. It doesn't happen overnight. Here's something amazing. This I found just astounding, really. Perhaps the greatest shooter of all time, Stephen Curry, greatest shooter of all time, was not even an all-star until his fifth season in the NBA. Yeah, it's a remarkable part of the story. Not even an all-star till his fifth season. Fifth! Now, he's been an all-star in every healthy season since, okay? So for many, many, many. See, but geez, think about this for a minute. For his first four seasons in the NBA, he was not even regarded as one of the top 24 people in the league. The 24 people in the all-star game. Top 24. That meant he was not selected to the all-star game season one, season two, season three, season four. Nope, not even the top 24 in the current game. The person who would become the greatest shooter of all time, not even the top 24, not just for 1 year. Oh, he had an off year. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. It's a mind-blowing number. And what did he do? He kept practicing. He kept adding. Keep adding virtue, add knowledge, add self-control, add patience, add godliness, add brotherly love, add agape love. You got to keep adding. You got to keep improving. Philippians 3, as we prepare to close. Philippians 3. What about the mentor? I talked about the mentee, Timothy. Mr. Timoteo, what about the mentor? Rav Shaul? Rav Shaul, that dude was something else. Woo! Truly one of the most brilliant people, probably in history of the world, certainly of his time, studied under Rabbi Gamliel. Brilliant. What did he say? Philippians 3:12. He says, not that I have already obtained this or been perfected, but I press on, if only I might take hold of that for which Messiah Yeshua took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself as having taken hold of this. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal for the reward of the upward calling of God and Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. No matter your walk, you have not yet arrived. And neither have I. We have not yet obtained it. This is Rabbi Shaul talking here. Friends, if anybody would have had an attitude like, yeah, I kind of got this stuff, it would be Paul. I mean, let's just be straightforward. He knew more than all of us. He had it down more than all of us. Yeshua himself knocked him off the horse. Talk to him. No, my friends. So we strain toward what is ahead and press on toward the goal of the calling. This is the bottom line, my friends. See, in basketball, you're in your prime at like 25, 26 in baseball, maybe 27, 28. In other, you know, as a stockbroker, it might be 35. They say as a rabbis and pastors, it's more like 60, you know, with the age is considered. Listen, here's the point, friends. Whatever the age, this is talking about spiritually. It should be growing brighter and brighter till the day you die. So, well, I've got this problem now. I got this problem and I'm getting older with this. It doesn't make any difference. You know, ask Susan Reamer. She loved the Lord deeply and passionately till her last breath last night at 98 years old. Friends, however solid you are with God today, seek to be more so tomorrow. If you are brand new in the Lord, that's perfectly okay. Seek to grow. Been in the faith 50 years? That's perfectly okay. Seek to grow. Don't leave here without being changed for the better. That choice is yours. Have you plateaued in your walk? Gentlemen, start your engines. It's time to start pressing in again. Be encouraged. Always seek to improve. Always seek to improve. Always seek to improve. I don't care how many shots you've taken. Take some more. Title of my message is Keep Practicing. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah or how you can become part of our Bethel family, please visit our website at www.bethhallel.org. That's BETHHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Arab Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and shalom.